Club, Day 11. Welcome back. So today's chapter, to me, is about how humor can ruin us. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, Nathan, you are the funniest person I've ever listened to in my life. And so you'd be like, so Nathan, you must be like the expert on how humor can ruin us. Because you're like, Nathan, you're also kind of an idiot. So surely you've fallen into the traps here of how humor can detract us from the reality of our sin. And you'd be right about all of those things. I am the funniest person you know or listen to. Also, somewhat of an idiot, somewhat of a practicing idiot. And so there's a lot of mistakes here that I've made. And using humor inappropriately is one of them. I was actually challenged when I was in college. I remember by one of my spiritual directors to, I think it was it for Lent. He was like, you need to give up sarcasm for Lent. And I was like, what? You know, who knew there could be hell on earth? And, I experienced it. I lived it for 40 days as I did attempt to actually be less sarcastic and be less, roast less people and just not be as, I guess you could call it mean. Some people would call it mean. And I just, you know, didn't love it, didn't love it at all, but it was helpful in recognizing that, you know what, maybe I'm being a little too harsh to people, generally speaking. And so still dabble in that from time to time now. Especially comes out when I'm playing basketball or any type of competition, because I'm pretty competitive as well. But I think the message here is that humor can make us flippant, and flippancy is bad. When we get to this point in life where we're actually just kind of scoffing at everything, I think flippancy to me just really means not taking anything seriously. And there are certain things in life that are very serious. And I think we live in a world today where you see that a lot, where you see a lot of people just don't take anything really that seriously. And it's not good. It's actively bad, actually. And we want to be the opposite of that. And so here he describes the friends kind of carrying over from what we listened to, what we talked about on Friday with friendships and people who are our friends. And these, he says, are the people that you don't want. This is the people that your demons want you to spend time with, is those steady, consistent scoffers and worldlings who, without any spectacular crimes, are progressing quietly and comfortably toward our Father's house. So remember again from the beginning, there's no need. They don't need Hitlers, right? They're not trying to just create these spectacularly sinful people, because those actually tend to be the people who wake up and have conversions when you kind of hit, you know, the spiritual rock bottom, if you will. He says what you want is a steady and consistent people who are progressing quietly and comfortably towards on this path to hell. And we have to be careful of that, right? This is how we defend, you know, just going on, you know, just to kind of close that out with the friendships thing. This is how we defend the people that we are friends with that maybe we shouldn't be friends with, right? It's like, well, they're not terrible. They don't do anything that bad. And it's like, well, sometimes the demons are rejoicing that you don't do anything that bad. And so he goes on to talk about humor, right? That if you let, if you do certain things, right? Basically, you can, and you see this a lot of times. I think about college with this, right? When it comes especially to drunkenness or sins of lust and fornication, pornography. I saw this a lot in the army as well, where there just becomes these cultures of just kind of making fun of those things. And you just kind of laugh about these things that are actually really terrible and bad and sinful, mortally sinful. We just kind of make light of them. And if you make light of it, then it's kind of like, oh, well, he's not a bad guy, right? He's kind of funny. He's a fun dude. And so he talks about this. If he boasts of it in a jocular manner, some type of sin, and twits his fellows with having been scored off, he's no longer mean, but a comical fellow. Mere cowardice is shameful. Cowardice boasted of with humorous exaggerations and grotesque gestures can be passed off as funny. Cruelty is shameful, unless the cruel man can represent it as a practical joke. And so, yeah. Really, really powerful, I think, to think about that, even cowardice, thinking about the ways, how are people using, disguising cowardice with humor? It's something that's really interesting to think about. It's kind of hard to think of like a practical example of that. I do think that maybe there's examples that people have given me in conversations I've had with, especially men who joke about the army, you know, or make up excuses for why they couldn't do certain things or certain acts of service. But we see it even I think maybe another example that I've seen even in the army is guys who will joke about not being able to have hard conversations with their wives or being able to pray with their wives or whatever. Like, it's easy with those things when we're called to do something that's challenging or difficult. Evangelization is one of these things that can be uncomfortable. We can just make jokes about it and we just kind of laugh it off. Then we don't have to worry about it anymore. If it's funny, nobody really going to ask about it. We can just kind of move on. And it allows me to just kind of justify my cowardice, justify my inaction, right? And it says, if prolonged, the habit of flippancy builds up around a man, the finest armor plating against the enemy that I know. That's a bold statement to say that the strongest armor against the work of God in your life is this idea of flippancy, because you just don't take anything seriously. Nothing's really that real. Nothing's really that important. He says, it is quite free from the dangers inherent in the other sources of laughter. It is 1,000 miles away from joy. It deadens instead of sharpening the intellect, and it excites no affection between those who practice it. So he kind of contrasts this with joy, right? With actual friendship, with actual joy and the goodness of life, the richness that God has for us in these kind of cruel jokes and laughing about that which is immoral, evil, ugly, distorted. And so we realize that this is actually another way of emptiness, right? That the devil kind of lures us into this empty lifestyle that actually isn't filling. It's not fulfilling. It's not meaningful. And so we want to avoid this. We want to avoid being flippant. We want to avoid being those steady scoffers and just kind of scoff at everything, right? Just kind of talk bad about everything. I was just with somebody recently that kind of made me think about this. It was like, anytime you complimented anything or said anything good about something, you always had something negative to point out, something negative to say about it. And it's like, that's it, right? That's the kind of person that is just kind of steadily just coasting their way to mediocrity, to an unfulfilled life. And unfortunately, and probably not a great destination for eternity, because we're just kind of scoffing at anything that's good. We just kind of poke holes in it. We're just kind of constant devil's advocate, constantly pointing out negative things. And one, nobody wants to be around you if you're like that. But two, we recognize that this is actually harmful to your spiritual life. So we want to avoid this. We want to avoid people that are like that. We want to avoid laughing at those things. It's kind of talking about in the last chapter where it says you will get him to be silent when he ought to speak, and you'll get him to laugh when he ought to be silent. So we'll be careful about the jokes even that we laugh at. There's obviously some humor and some things that are funny. I tend to really love stand-up comedy, and some of those are raunchier or more, but I found that as I've grown closer to God, as I've become more and more of the man God created me to be, I actually just don't find it as enjoyable anymore. I the same rap music that I used to listen to, like, I just don't like it as much. And it's just because, like, your actual taste changes as your conscience changes, as your heart and mind get molded to be the heart, to be more like and reflect the heart and mind of God. You're not as attracted to those things. And so that's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. And so we want to feed that. We want to foster that rather than fight against it. So that's it for today. God bless you. We'll see you next time.